Merry Christmas. Great to have you here this morning. Let's join together in prayer and prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Lord, we know that your presence is here, and we know that the Holy Spirit activates the word of God to speak. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts in a profound way today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A popular Christmas gift a few years back was a film narrated by Tom Hanks, and it was called Band of Brothers. It tells the story of World War II paratroopers, and it goes all the way from Normandy to Hitler's Eagle Nest. Now, my wife began to watch this film series in preparation for teaching World War II to 7th and 8th graders at Rivendell Christian School. And I decided to watch one episode with her, and I was hooked for the whole thing. I mentioned this to our small groups pastor, Merritt Anderson, and discovered he had the whole series and that he was equally captivated. And what captivated us was the bond between these men. They stared death in the face in the midst of a war, but they had each other's backs, and they truly became a band of brothers. And that ironclad bond between them is what allowed them to actually live during the war. They couldn't make it without each other. That longing to belong, to connect, to be a part of a community is what appealed to me. And I believe it's a stream that runs through every single human heart. That's why it's woven all the way through our culture. You see that long to belong in internet chat rooms. You will find it in gangs. That's why Starbucks markets community. That's why community is a catchphrase and doing life together is so important. All of that reflects the way God made us. He made us to yearn for human relationship. Now, did you know that the Bible says that longing to belong every one of us have is directly tied to worship? God-pleasing worship. God-pleasing worship produces something. It produces a devoted, loyal, stick-with-you-in-hard-times, tight-knit band of brothers and sisters. For example, when Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day and they enjoyed intimacy with Him, the byproduct was they enjoyed fabulous intimacy with each other. There was a bond. But when they listened to Satan and decided to go independent from God, they immediately lost their bond with Him, and the bond between them was broken. And instead of intimacy, they hid from each other, and they started blaming each other. Jesus repeatedly taught, you must always weld together, loving God and loving people. And the evidence that you love God is that you love and connect with people. That's why 1 John chapter 4 says, if you see your brother in need and you have what you the world's goods to meet it and you say, be warmed and filled, go in peace, how does the love of God abide in you? God-pleasing worship produces a band of brothers. Now, in our series on worship, we've been picturing worship as a land that you can enter into through the wardrobe of God's word. And each week we've gone to the wardrobe and we've picked out a few objects to illustrate how to live in and dwell in the land of God-pleasing worship. So this morning, let's go over to the wardrobe and see what it will teach us about how the worship, God-pleasing worship, produces a band of brothers. What I have in my hand are three tuning forks. And Kendall, who's the music expert, I'm certainly not, is going to come up and help me illustrate this. For example, this tuning fork Tuning forks, by the way, are made to vibrate at a certain specific frequency. This tuning fork stands for God. So let's hear the sound that it makes.
You hear that back there? Just barely. God speaking in his still soft voice.
Good one. I heard it. Did you hear that? Now, this tuning fork stands for us. When we're in fellowship with God spiritually, we vibrate at the same frequency. And when we choose the path of selfishness and pride, our fellowship with God is broken, and that's represented by this rubber band on the tuning fork. Nothing. Nothing again. A third nothing. Thank you, Kendall. So what is the point? The point is this: because of our selfishness and pride, we get out of tune with God, and when we're out of tune with God, we're also out of tune with each other. And conversely, when we're in tune with God, then we're also very much in tune with each other. And since as Christians, we're all related to the tuning fork Christ, we have spiritual unity. That's the reason the Bible never tells Christians to produce or create unity. It tells you to preserve the unity you already have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And Ephesians 4:25 says, "We are members of one another." So as followers of Christ, we all love and believe in the tuning fork, Jesus Christ. But there's one barrier that prevents us from being in tune and in the same frequency with God and each other. And here's what the barrier always is. It's coping with life apart from Christ. It is finding our security and our significance somewhere other than Christ. And for example, let's use this stool to illustrate our point. There are three basic things we all build the stool of our lives on: wanting to be loved, wanting to be significant, and wanting to be secure. Take the first leg, wanting to be loved. If you're not drawing and building that leg of the stool of your life on Christ, you will go somewhere else to get that need met, and where you'll always go is to people. But it'll be very much out of balance. You will become a people pleaser, not a God-fearer. Your self-image will be built on the opinions of other people. You will second guess your decisions. You will find it hard to say no. Some of you will use sex in order to get a quick love fixed. You will compromise your morals in order to feel loved. You will never get enough love from people. If this is the leg of your stool, you're easily threatened by other people. You will find that your efforts at work, if they happen to be overlooked or you don't get the recognition you think you deserve, it will devastate you. If your mate or loved one rejects you, your world falls apart. And so on that leg of the stool, if Christ is not the source, people are the source, and the stool is constantly wobbly and it's unshaken. Second, if you take the significance leg of the stool of your life, we all want to feel significant. And if you're not drawing your significance from Christ, you'll go to another unstable source. It'll be like walking a tightrope, looking for the applause and always afraid that you might fall off. Others' success will threaten you. It'll be hard to rejoice in it. You'll give in to gossip. You'll become a part of cliques. You'll long to be in the in crowd so you feel significant. Name dropping, telling white lies, constant comparisons, overachieving, excessive talking are all evidences that you're building that leg of the stool of your life on the wrong source. And as a result, your life is unstable. If you take the third leg, wanting to feel secure, if you do not build your security on the rock, Jesus Christ, you'll seek it out in cheap substitutes. Popular ones are money, career, being in control, other people. They will all become your masters. Admitting mistakes, facing weaknesses, being transparent, simply too threatening. Building our security on other shaky foundations leaves no room for us to put energy into being genuinely gracious and entering to the lives of other people. And so the security leg is weak and the whole life becomes unstable. So what's the solution? It's found in five words. Find your security in Christ. Say that with me. Find your security in Christ. Paul cried out in desperation in Romans chapter 7 because he had been building the stool of his life with those three legs on the wrong foundation. And he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" He did not say, "What will set me free?" He was not looking for techniques. He was not going to get a self-help book. He was not going to just try harder. He said the answer is in a who, a person. And then he said, "Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ." So God-pleasing worship, in essence, is simply finding your security in Christ. It means you delight in Him. It means that you rest on Him, that you treasure Him. So go back through the same three and look at how Christ makes all the difference. If you build the love stool of your life on Christ, it will hold. If you want somebody to love you 24/7, a love that's impossible to change, a love that is unconditional, the only source is Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10, I love this verse. "We know love by this, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He gave His only Son to be payment for our sins." This past week, I had lunch with a very good friend. I've known him for years. And he has a fabulous walk with Christ. And the theme of his life is the love of Christ. That's all he can talk about. From a human perspective, the love leg on the stool of his life has been totally shattered. After being married to a Christian woman for 19 years, she left and abandoned the faith. It devastated his two daughters, who've taken a wrong path and have absolutely crushed his heart. But I've known him up close for years. And what he has done is, when that human love failed, there was somebody he clung to. He constantly feels love, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. And it's real. It holds his life together. When you build the significance leg of the stool of your life on Christ, it will hold. If you want to feel significant, listen to what God says about you as a believer in Christ. And this is a theme all through the New Testament. Over 50 things are listed. This is who you really are. You are significant in Christ. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're declared righteous. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You're an instrument in the hand of God. You have been declared significant by Christ. St. Patrick lived from 415 to 492 AD. And the significant leg of the stool of his life from a human perspective was totally shattered. When he was 16 years old, he was taken captive from Britain to Ireland. And there for 6 years, he became a slave of a cruel Irish pig farmer. And the shattered significance of his life, he began to build it on Christ. He said that nominal faith in Christ now suddenly became real, and he began to pray constantly. He writes that sometimes he would pray 100 times in the daytime, and at night almost just as much. Prayer and finding significance in Christ marked his life. He finally escaped. He went back to Britain, and there he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the Irish people pleading with him, come back and bring us the gospel of Christ. He trained in France for a while. He was ordained as a minister of the gospel. But his superiors deemed him not learned enough, not quite making the grade, too much of a risk. And so they bypassed him and they picked somebody else to go to Ireland. Now, here he is from a human perspective. That significance leg of his life is crushed. His call is not recognized. He's labeled inferior. You're not quite smart enough. You don't measure up. A year later, the man who went in his place died. And at 40 years old, Patrick finally got his chance. But remember, he's considered a second-round draft choice. A risk. He found his significance in Christ. Patrick and his band of brothers took the little learning he had, and here's a quote from him. God stirred in me a fool from the midst of those who are considered wise and learned, and inspired me, who is despised by the world. Patrick and his band of brothers led over 100,000 people to Christ. They planted learning centers all through Ireland and over 200 Celtic churches that then turned around and re-evangelized his former Britain. And his theme in life was that you don't find your significance. You do not find it in your learning. You don't find it in your accomplishments. It wasn't even in the fruit of his ministry. He found it one place, and it was Christ. And that's why his life was stable. The third leg is feeling secure. And if you want to feel really secure, you go to the one person who created you, who controls your universe, whose character is absolutely perfect, and you trust him, and you'll find security. Hebrews 13:5, he says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And in Matthew 28, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This book I read a Christian writer, this week I read a Christian writer, Frederick Buechner. He wrote a book called Telling Secrets. And this minister, this man who loved God, found that the security of his life, that security leg, was shattered through his daughter. His daughter, who he deeply loved, became anorexic, and she would not eat. And he writes that no amount of arguments, pleading, warning, bribing would make her eat normally. And this battle raged for 3 years. And this father, who found security in being in control, protecting his children, lost control. And it got worse and worse. He says, I was living my life through her, and I lost my life. If she would eat a piece of toast with her little dinner, I was in heaven. If she would not eat dinner, I was in hell. He said, I went through the motions and the rest of my life, and I lost my sense of security. I couldn't get it back. He was finally counseled, the only way your daughter will ever get well is you let go and you entrust her to God. 3,000 miles away, His daughter was finally hospitalized and force-fed so that she could eat. He could not be there. He could not stand there to protect her. He couldn't do anything. He had to release it. And over a period of time, his daughter returned to health, and so did he. And the lesson he learned is that the only place to feel secure is in the unchanging Christ. And that's why he is so effective today. He finds his security there. My companion at lunch this week, St. Patrick and Frederick Buechner, all had a parallel journey with St. Augustine, who said this: "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." Now, I'm learning the same lesson that those men learned. The only real place to find security is in Christ. And do you know the radical difference between godly brokenness, when the legs on the stool of your life fall apart, and brokenness that is human? Do you know the difference? Here's the difference. With Christ, you come to the end of yourself. But at that end, you know he will hold you and it will stand. And without Christ, you come to the end of yourself, and that's all you ever had, and it looks totally, completely hopeless. So look what happens when you build the legs of your life on Jesus Christ. Using me as an object lesson, I stand for a great crisis. It could be the loss of a loved one, or you're fired, or your health falls apart. Your circumstances are awful. It's a heavy weight. It holds if it's built on Christ. And without Christ, you are crushed. If you want to find security and significance in life, find it in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said this, Matthew 7, "If you hear my words and obey them, you will be like a man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms of life come, when the Katrina comes, it'll stand because you're built on the rock, Jesus Christ." God-pleasing worship is in essence simply this: you find your security in Christ, you delight in Christ, you rest in Christ, you find Christ as the treasure of your life. And listen to this: if you do not choose Christ, then you will go somewhere else, and on the continuum of self-security, there are only two options. One, you will be on the pride end. Two, you will be on the humiliation end. Now let's take the humiliation end, because the scriptures in the Christmas story illustrates the humiliation end perfectly in the story of the shepherds. And let me show you a painting that was done in the late 1400s called The Adoration of the Shepherds. And they illustrate people who struggle with shame and a total sense of inadequacy. Now, I want you to look very carefully at the painting and notice that these are poor shepherds who are barely eking out a living. Notice their tattered clothing. Notice the holes in their shoes. If you got up close, they probably smelled bad. The fact that they don't even rank in the social scale in that day, a shepherd, his word wasn't even used to be testifying in a court of law. Lowly shepherd. Now look again at the painting. Look at their faces. They are not focused on their dirty hands or their scraggly appearance. They're not caught up with wallowing in self-pity, comparing themselves to more finely robed Joseph. They are not consumed with shame that would wall them into isolation. Their sense of adequacy is rooted in Christ. And because they're worshiping Christ, they're face to face with the one who can give them true security. Now, in this context, when you hear these men hear these words, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all people. Today in the city of David is born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord." These men, these humble shepherds, walked away as a band of brothers secure in Jesus Christ. The humble shepherds show us how to find our freedom there, to get free from competing, from comparing, and from blocking our intimacy. I want you to notice what one of the shepherds is laying on the ground. It's his hat, his form of self-protection. If you want to find your security in Christ, you have to lay down whatever you're clinging to for security and self-protection, because it's a false sense of security, and you replace it with finding your security and your significance in Christ. Now, that's one end of the spectrum, humiliation. The other end of the spectrum is pride. That is people who are full of themselves, they're arrogant, they go on ego trips. I can do it myself. And that's where this second story from Christmas, the adoration of the Magi. It was also painted in the 1400s. And these are men of status. These are men who have learning, they have accomplishment, they're leaders of large countries, bands of people. And they're the kind of men whose egos could get into an emotional gladiator competition with each other of who's going to be first in this situation. Now, I want you to notice what the painter implies. If you look back here, you'll notice there is a horse, and the servant is trying to control him. And the horses are kind of fighting with each other. They're out of control. And it's a way of saying this is much like us. It implies that maybe these magi would have that kind of competition with each other, that we're striving to be in the limelight, pushing ourselves forward, wanting to be in control, wanting to be first, and it destroys our unity. But when these magi are worshiping Christ, they are not propped up with the legs of success and significance and power. They are taking their resources and offering it to Christ. They are taking the gold, giving it to Christ, and they see Christ using it as he sees fit. They've relinquished control to him. They're stewards, giving it back to the ones who holds it all. These accomplished men have relinquished control. They're worshiping Christ. Where are they finding their security and significance? They found it in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice the wise men. He paints different ages. And tradition says perhaps there was a young one, a middle-aged one, and an old one. And it shows us again that when you come to Christ, he brings together all the ages. If you're truly worshiping Christ, no longer do you have the in crowd and the out crowd, the cool ones and the not with it people. That is gone. Because believers who find their security in Christ truly become a band of brothers. God-pleasing worship creates a band of brothers. Do you know why? Because when you're truly finding your significance in Christ, he gives you a brand new stool. Brand new. And it's got three legs, all built on the unshakable Jesus Christ. Now, we've heard a lot during this series about worship, about C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And that story illustrates our point. The four children truly became a band of brothers and sisters because they were united in Aslan's love. For example, Edmund, who was prideful, who was resentful, who was competitive and self-seeking. Because of that, he sabotaged them and almost turned everybody over to the wicked rich. But because of Aslan's love, the one who died in his place and rose again, he found his security and it transformed him. and he became a band of brothers with his brothers and sisters. And the other three children, instead of resting on self-righteousness and condemnation, being like an elder brother, they found their security in Christ, and they truly became a band of brothers. One of my favorite scenes in that movie is when Father Christmas comes by and he says, "Merry Christmas, long live the true King." And that's what we want to say this morning. So just like Aslan, the true King in the land of Narnia who set the world right, Jesus Christ is our true Aslan. And he's the only one that can set your world right. If you want to find true love that will never, ever, ever go away, build that leg of your life on Christ. Nothing else will last. If you want to find true significance, you're somebody, then you go to Christ, because he says you really are. You're my beloved child, and it won't ever change. And if you want to find genuine security, no matter what your circumstances, you go to the one who holds you and he'll never, ever let go. And it's Jesus Christ. I'd be willing to bet there are a lot of believers who walked in here today and your life is nothing but a wobbly stool. It's unstable because you're, even though you know Christ, you're going to people for love, you're going to other things for significance, and you're looking in the wrong spot for security. You were designed to be like this if you rest on Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to celebrate today. So I want to ask you to make a decision. If you want to be like this when the storms come, you have to choose every single day. I'm going to the cross. I die to trying to be loved, be significant, secure, and cheap substitutes. And I find life in Christ and Christ alone. He's my treasure. He's my hope. He's my everything. So will you choose Christ?